Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never. And as a matter of fact, that was kind of my message in the constitutional minutes that just went out. And oh, by the way, it is posted so that you can go read it. What you can't read are the three articles. And as a matter of fact, over the weekend, because the bill, we didn't have time, and there was only 2 minutes given to try to, you know, argue. And the way everything happened in the State House regarding the bill for the, basically, the Constitutional Compliance Committee to be created, well, so one of the things we kind of learned is that they rushed everything. So they started their session on Monday, and I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday. The bill got filed Tuesday. I think it was all done on Tuesday, right up front. And so there was really no time to socialize that bill. So in other words, if you go look at how many bills were injected into the cycle, we did not have a chance to really help everybody understand exactly what bills they needed to understand. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, I don't even understand. Actually, I do. So, a few lessons learned. But one of the things I keep on telling people is we knew going in that this bill would not have passed. And the reason we got as many votes that we did is because that's how many good guys there are. The fact is that we got almost 30 votes. That's almost 50% of the House. And so we have to move. We have to remove, I should say, over 15, because we need to get to 40 to get to a two-thirds majority. That's the sweet spot where if you have a two-thirds majority, you've seized control. If we can get a two-thirds majority in this upcoming election cycle in Wyoming, in both houses, then folks, we're actually going to witness the fire, the catalyst, the spark that will actually create a movement for republic review and forcing the federal government to comply to the Constitution. Now, one of the things, and I would ask you to read my constitutional minutes, because I really made an appeal to everybody there, whether they be a Democrat, a Rhino, or a conservative, or a constitutionalist. I gave them the appeal that now is the time. Everybody, every legislator, every politician must recognize, especially in these red states, they must recognize that the electorate is waking up, they're getting smart, and we're making them smart. Reclaiming the Republic is actually teaching you. And this is why, you know, I really appreciate the support. I know that there's people that want to support me. Hey, come on, I'd like to, you know, support you, you know, give you some love, send you some money. What we want to do, and actually what we think the best way to do this, instead of you just contributing, because what we want to do is actually make you successful. We need you to be successful as well, not just me. And my success is everybody's success. And that goes the same for you. Your success is everybody's success. If you quantify your success as a financial thing, then we're doomed. But if you quantify your success in restoring liberty and restoring our constitutional republic like I do, then we have a real shot. And this is my message to them. The people, their electorate, their constituents, their voters are waking up, and we're teaching them what to demand. See, the real problem, I stated this a long, 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 long time ago, and this goes down to my three premises. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. You hear me say that probably quite a bit for those who listen to this show. I don't say it all the time, but this is usually how I'll start off a presentation, because it really helps set the stage so that people can, you know, get their arms wrapped around this idea that what we're doing in having a conversation is really helping, I don't want to say socialize or indoctrinate, help people get across the finish line in giving them the essential information. Because the important part of that little line or that little quote, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. It's that middle part, equally informed. What we want to do is get them equally informed. Because as soon as we do, well, their argument doesn't stand anymore. They now, because they've been informed equally, now they have this challenge of swallowing their pride and then saying, you know what, you're right. I never looked at it that way. And most people that are reasonable will do that. It's only that stubborn blockhead that, you know, will just argue and argue and argue, even though you've proven them wrong and you know those people exist. Those aren't reasonable people, or they're not reasonable all the time when it comes to very specific things. And 9 times out of 10, the reason they're not reasonable on those specific things is because there's something in it for them, whether it be a pride issue. But 9 times out of 10, there's always a motive, right? We know that people do things for reasons. They, you know, when we look at the convention of state folks, we know that they're doing this for a reason. They're not doing this because they're noble and they're trying to restore the Constitution. If that was the case, these guys would have probably came up with Republic Review before I did, because they were in the fight and trying to fight, because they were the ones out there claiming, oh, the federal government's out of control. We all knew the federal government was out of control. We've all been watching this train wreck for over a century. My parents have been watching this train wreck. The only reason I am in this position is because I had great parents that taught me to pray and ask, and we prayed together. My father and I had a very close relationship. We were very, very close regarding the Constitution and regarding our liberties, regarding this nation. And it was my father's concern for trying to save our republic and our liberties and our Constitution that really brought me to the table. I mean, there were lots of things that as a young man that grew up and graduated in the 70s, that when I look at the counterculture revolution and how indoctrinated I was, I tell people, I was a communist. I was a program communist. And I tell people that we don't even know we're communists. They basically indoctrinate you to become a Democrat in the education system. Even G. Edward Griffin, who graduated in the 40s, came out. And in my interview with him, he comes right out and says, yeah, I was a communist. I was taught the concepts of collectivism in the education system. And he never understood or even thought of anything contrary until he started getting exposed to, and I think it was the John Birch Society, or it was the precursor to the John Birch Society. There was another organization that, you know, was kind of moving along this narrative and teaching people about communism and its evil and how it's infiltrated America and so forth. And so my point is that the only reason I'm here is because I didn't give up. I didn't stop asking. I kept on searching, and I knew, because I came to the conclusion back in the 90s, late 80s, that the Constitutional Convention was not the process in forcing the federal government into compliance. I knew something there had to be something else. Now, I didn't know about the 1798 resolutions probably until the late 90s. And that's when I started really looking at different paths. And then I think it was the early 2000s when Thomas Woods came out with this and I'll just call it's the perverted doctrine of nullification. See, nullification is really a perfunctory process. And what I mean by that is it's just basically when you realize that you've created a law that is, you know, violates the base law. In other words, the law itself is a violation of the base law. Then what you do is you nullify, you just strike it from the books because you're the one that wrote it. Now, if you happen to be an organization or an entity that didn't write that law, and it is an unconstitutional law, and the organizations, and in this relationship, the federal government creates a law that's unconstitutional, something they don't have the power to do. The only way that you can get that law stricken is either for the federal government to nullify it on their own, or you have to force them to nullify it. Because nullification cannot be done by a state to say, we're not going to abide by that law. And this was definitely clarified in my message and in these documents. What we've got here is the workings of what I will say, the foundation of everything that you need to have, everything that you need to understand. The one part, the one component that I don't have in documentation yet, and actually there's two parts I'm working on. Because if you read the article on the Constitutional Articles page, what is the real problem? We lay out the fact that the federal government has no authority to do many of the things that they're doing. And we lay it out that it's not, the problem really isn't about guns. The problem really isn't about abortion, this one little thing. It's about all the things that they're doing that they have no authority to do. And this is why you've heard me talk recently, very recently, about Article 3, Section 2, where the federal court system, which has jurisdiction over all things arising under the Constitution, i.e., in other words, the Constitutional Convention, they actually have jurisdiction over it, and they will assert their control as soon as the trigger is pulled, my friends. Anyway, when we come back, I'll try to wrap up this monologue, and we'll get into the obligatories. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Excuse me. So anyway, the fact is that you don't have to be a man of God, but if you have any faith, if you have any religion, as a woman, a man, forgive me for just being binary. I don't mean to be that way. Any person that is a godly person, a person that has faith, has the same privilege of asking and receiving information. It's right there in the Bible. Ask and ye shall receive. And so if you understand the power of that, being able to knock and being able to actually receive this, I'll just say, this level of inspiration, communication, whatever you want to call it, you can have that. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to have that? I mean, there's so many things. I see so many people in life that are successful, and they're knowledgeable and they're successful based on the lumps and knocks that they've received. I just kind of question, how much further would these people be had they actually used the old knock and receive method? In other words, letting our Creator, letting our Lord and Savior be the one that actually helps guide and influence our decisions and those types of things. I say this because a patriot and friend is currently, you know, probably getting scabs on his knees praying to find out what does he need to do. One of the first things, and I know he listens to this show, so he knows I'm talking about him. And so one of the things I will point to my friend is one of the very first things I told him, going back to our, you know, over a year ago when we started talking kind of on a regular basis, which was about a year ago, I basically told him that he should run. He should actually get engaged in politics. He needs to become a leader, a political leader. He has been prepared. He understands. He can stand up and literally with prejudice be able to dispute, refute, and knock down any person that actually wants to spew lies. And I am telling you, when we get politicians of this caliber, of understanding the Constitution, watch out, America. America is dying. America is dying and needs leaders. They know they need leaders, and they're thirsty for solutions and leaders. Friends, we need you. I cannot impress upon this. This is one of the reasons why, well, I'm calling it monetizing Reclaiming the Republic. Now, Reclaiming the Republic is a trademark. So I have all of this intellectual property, and I actually pay for these trademarks. But the fact of the matter is it's not like I'm making any money off of it. And I'm not here to try to make money. You've heard me talk about the tens of thousands, over $100,000 I've probably sunk into this entire process. And my loving wife has, you know, she could easily, you know, said, that's it, I'm pulling the plug, you can't do that anymore, get back to work and, you know, start contributing instead of draining us. Because I've never been and never have been the one actually draining to where we couldn't make it financially. We've paying interest. We've got all these debt problems. The Lord has blessed us. And I believe that He will bless every single one of us. And as a matter of fact, if you can't find blessings in your life today, you're not looking. As a matter of fact, I would challenge anybody, if you really want to start getting your head right, getting your perspective right, go down to the VA. Unfortunately, because of COVID, you probably can't do this. But just imagine going down to the VA and looking at all those old to young men and women that have had their lives changed because of their willingness to serve liberty and the Constitution. Go there, because you will find that that right there is the caliber of service that every public servant should have the paradigm. They should be willing to take that bullet. They should be willing to take that stand. And when we talk about bullets in politics, we're not talking about bullets that will actually mortally kill you. We're talking about bullets that will destroy your lives. We're talking about bullets that will destroy our liberties. We're talking about bullets that will subjugate and enslave the world. We need leaders to take a stand and say those bullets cannot hurt us. We all need to take a stand. You know, we are, if you've never seen the movie Lord of the Rings, go look for when Gandalf goes to King Rohan. And when he goes there, King Rohan is under a spell. And he's under the spell of this little wizard, you know, wannabe. His name, I think, is Wormtongue. And, of course, perfect name, right? I mean, if you ran into a person and they told you that their name was Wormtongue, you know, their God-given name, Wormtongue, I mean, you'd kind of go like, wow, what kind of parents hated you? I mean, the name creates that label. It just creates that imagery of just this evil doing guy. And so if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the fact is, here's a guy by the name of Wormtongue who has put this king under a spell. And so when Gandalf and I forget Aragorn and the other men that were with him, there was the elf and the dwarf, as they went to visit, because they needed to muster the forces of Rohan to go down south, and I don't know all the names, but this is really powerful imagery. When they walk in, the king is sitting slumped in his throne, and he, you know, there's like cobwebs in his face, and his eyes are just like glazed over, like you couldn't imagine this man seeing or even having much life left. It looked like he was in his deathbed. This trance, this spell that was put upon him was so dark and so heavy, it constrained him completely. He surrendered to it. I'm using this metaphor, I'm using this point to really drive home how we as a nation and how many good patriots are under a spell and they don't even know it. They really don't understand the concept of what is an enumerated constitution. Many are starting to get this. Many are starting to, you know, put these things together, but they still need to get that last way, that last furlong, that last stretch to cross that finish line, to actually start understanding that we have a compact, that the states have all of the authority over that compact. All of it. Remember, the 10th Amendment asserts that those powers not delegated are reserved to the states and the people, which means that the states have all the authority over anything and everything that is not delegated in there, and they can use anything, you know, anything under the sun is available for them to use to enforce those things, which means that they can bring the power of God down upon the federal government into forcing it into compliance if they only had the faith. Now, people go, well, you know, we need some real tools. God gave us those tools. Our Creator knew exactly what we were facing. This is why Section 3, you want to put the fear of God in a public servant. And I'm telling you all of this because if you go read my message, the Constitutional Minutes for yesterday, for this week that I sent out, my message was really clear that you, the voters, are beginning to wake up and that you're understanding that these people have a legal obligation. Your public servants have taken an oath that they must support the Constitution. They don't have a choice. Actually, they do have a choice. If they choose not to, the consequence is right there in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This was the one thing that Madison and the framers did not have, and it eluded them because of their level of honor and integrity. They didn't realize that they needed that tool. And what really brought this forth, I'm telling you, my friends, the awakening of what was called the Radical Republicans from the Civil War, and seeing how freemen were being absolutely oppressed and treated even worse than slaves and being killed because they were black and because the South had lost the war. My friends, this is where God moved that Congress to insert Section 3. It's really, really important. And as a matter of fact, I just didn't even think about contributing this to you, but I have to do this because you have to know, you have to understand that when it comes down to the language of the 14th Amendment, I mean, let me find it here. This is it right here. Until the fourth day, this is exactly what Section 3 stated when the 14th Amendment was submitted, all five sections, four basically, and the fifth was just an administrative, how all five sections had been submitted for Congress to sign off on. This is the language. So when we come back, I'm going to give you the original language of what Section 3 stated. And then if you read the debates, and we have the debates out there for you if you want to read 263 pages. These are not light pages. These are actually triplicate pages because one page is three separate columns. So it's almost like reading, when you read one page, it's almost like reading three. But we have 263 pages of the debates. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this is the language that was the original language for Section 3, which is not in the Constitution. In other words, this is not the language that we have in the Constitution. This was the original language. And I'm giving this to you because when you talk to anybody that thinks they understand the 14th Amendment, they will tell you that Section 3 only applied to the rebellion and those who were rebellious at that time, that it does not apply to today. And I am here to tell you they are deceiving you. They are being a worm tongue, or they have believed worm tongue and how Worm Tongue wanted them to understand this. Because, again, this is a part of the big lie and the deception. Quote, until the fourth day of July in the year 1870, all persons who voluntarily adhered to the late insurrection, giving aid and comfort, shall be excluded from the right to vote for representatives in Congress and for electors for presidents and vice presidents of the United States. So in other words, everybody who supported, they took away the voting rights. In other words, they were punishing the voters. The intent behind Section 3 was to remove the ability for anybody to be able to vote for the representatives and for electors. In other words, they were not going to be able to invoke any form of representative government or any representation in the presidential election or in Congress. In other words, they were not going to be able to vote for, if they supported the insurrection, they could not put the insurrectionists into office. And so this was debated, and Senator Howard, after this language was provided, this is what I think hit the nail on the head to help everybody understand the real scope of what they were trying to fix. And this is what Mr. Howard stated, or Senator Howard stated. Quote, "It seems to me that where a person has taken a solemn oath to support the Constitution of the United States, there is a fair moral implication that he or she cannot afterward commit an act which in its effect would destroy the Constitution of the United States without incurring the guilt of at least moral perjury." Now, what he basically stated is that anybody that takes an oath to support the Constitution and then supports or allows an insurrection or rebellion or an attack upon the Constitution that in essence would destroy it. And let's look at it this way, because most people don't look at the welfare system as something that destroys the Constitution. And absolutely it does, because one, it's first, it's a violation of the Constitution. And secondly, it creates this, you know, this downward spiral of a democratic process of the voters asking for more and more when the Constitution is not designed to give the voters anything. The only thing that the voters receive from the Constitution is the security from foreign influence and the security from foreign attacks, that they can live their lives in tranquility. That's what the Constitution guarantees. It does not guarantee them a new home if you're ravaged by a hurricane. It does not guarantee some underwriting for your property and homes and things that you may possess from tornadoes or floods, rivers rising. Ah, but we're such a rich nation, we can do these things. No, we can't. We may be a rich nation that has the money to do those things. We do not have a government that is empowered. And by creating the ability for the government to do noble things, the government can then also do evil things. And this is why, when you actually open the door to do what would be perceived as good, you open the door for it to do all the other things as well. Unless you actually enumerated that power. But that power has never been enumerated. It has been, and it is done, and it is customly done. As George Washington points out, the customary process is for noble intent to violate the Constitution. And the people go, yeah, we think that's a good reason, and we think that's a good idea. That's how they've been doing it. That is how Wormtongue has been able, or I should say this big deception, and the liar, the deceiver. We know who the deceiver is. If you don't know, it's Satan. Allowing things to happen because we think it's a good thing, or, yeah, we should be able to do that. We can afford it. We can help these people. No. The government was never designed to do that. Your churches, your community, that's where you rally, that's where you contribute, and that those are the mechanisms in helping. If you really look at it, this radio show is not something that's trying to sell you books. This radio show is not trying to, you know, sell you anything. I'm not here to entertain either. If you really look, and if you understand the principle of the fish that Christ talks about, if you give a man a fish, you fed him for the day. If I give you a book, then you've been able to, you can go and read my book. And I've made money, and you've read my book. You've consumed my book. But if I teach you to fish, and I teach you to become a part of the solution, that you can solve your own problems, that you can become self-sufficient, then I have fed you for your life. That is the principle. And if you start looking at things in context of what, you know, what people should be doing and what people are doing, it makes it start easy. I think it helps you. This becomes a good divining rod, or it becomes a good litmus test for you to be able to go out and determine for yourself, is this person self-serving? Is this person, this organization, doing something that is serving them specifically? Or is this organization seeking to solve the problems that we all are facing? And I am telling you, because I just posted this in a forum in Wyoming, because a person was kind of railing against the Gun Owners Association, which is a large organization that spans across several states, and they have presence right there in Wyoming, and how this organization has been working and actually compromising with law enforcement, giving law enforcement a pass, and trying to maintain this myopic issue of gun ownership. The fact of the matter is that the Gun Owners Association, just like the abortion people, just like the health freedom people, all bypass all of the other evils. In other words, those people who say it's all about abortion, they're locked in and it's all about abortion. Many of those people I've ran into, happen to have been associated with the Constitution Party. Now, I'll say this. A former person and one of the few people that I've met that is so hard-headed and myopic over the issue of abortion, they can't get beyond that. They're a former member of the Constitution Party. And they left the Constitution Party years ago because of a religious rift and what have you. And this person's kind of local. I was trying to see if this person would kind of get involved in the Constitution Party again. And they said, nope, because the Constitution Party has abandoned the abortion issue. That's how myopic they are. But here's the funny thing. This person believes it's on the moral high ground of fighting this one thing and trying to protect the innocents, from being, killed in the womb. And, this innocent life. But they're walking right past the little children that are being indoctrinated into, this moral dystopia, or dysphoria, I should say, and in actually the modeling these children into becoming sexual deviants, to actually debase our society. So they're bypassing this evil just because this other evil is the only evil that is important. And it's the same evil or the same focus on just abortion that they're also walking past, this vaccination and the killing of people and what the vaccinations are doing in destroying people's immune systems. As we start to look, if you remember this old scientific rule, it takes time to measure results. In other words, when you start testing, you don't have the affinity, you do not have the absolute answer in your first test. When you have a hypothesis, you have to continue to test it, you have to test variances and so forth, and it takes time to measure results. It's just like when you're doing things biologically, when you inject something into somebody's body, do you have the results in one day? Does it take years and years? And when it comes to these types of things, it takes years before we start really understanding the unintended consequences or the side effects of some of these things. And I am here to tell you that when you start looking at what the heck is going on, how is it that these people can sleep at night because they're so focused on just one issue, and they believe that they're on the moral high ground when they're walking past all the rest of this evil? Folks, we have to address all the evil that this genie out of the bottle is doing. When I say genie, the federal government, who's gotten out of the bottle, who's no longer contained by the Constitution, the bottle being the Constitution that constrains them. Now that they're out of the bottle, they are able to actually wage war and mayhem upon us. They are actually executing an economic war against states, against these conservative states. They're trying to destroy the economy of conservative states and putting them on their knees. We'll be right back after this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so while it's all still fresh in your head, now that you understand what the original language of was Section 3 for the 14th Amendment, now let's actually give you the language of what is in Section 3. Remember that it talked about going to 1870, that people couldn't do anything. So in other words, it was time-bound, and it was very specific towards a very specific group of people, those who supported rebellion. That was the intent, the original intent. The changed intent and the actual amendment states this: no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support the Constitution, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, in other words, insurrection against the Constitution or rebellion against the Constitution, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of two-thirds of each house, remove such a disability. So in other words, what they stated was that if you take an oath, and while you're under that oath, you actually support rebellion against the Constitution, you actually commit rebellion. And my friends, every member of Congress that has continued to vote regarding the immigration issues over the past three decades has been supporting rebellion against the Constitution. Why? Because the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, clearly states that the United States shall guarantee to each state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each from an invasion. And since the 80s, we have been invaded and constantly invaded, and they have done nothing to actually stop this invasion. They have actually gone out of their way to invite and make sure that people, just keep coming. That right there is rebellion against the Constitution, because their obligation is to stop and support and actually protect every state from an invasion. And right there in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, Congress had the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions. It even tells them what they have to do. And they haven't even done it. For three decades, Congress has deliberately allowed this nation. The fact that they have done this, the fact that they have not once lift a finger to do what the Constitution has directed them to do, when they have taken an oath to support and defend it, folks, the case closed. Right here, they are supporting or giving aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. Do you think the people that are coming here that want to violate our immigration laws are friends of the Constitution, that are here to support the Constitution? No. The fact that they're coming means that they're here to overrun the Constitution. And the two shall never mix. It's just like oil and water. Friends, what is it going to take? We are running out of time. And the whole point is, and this is why we're going to get into this week, we're going to talk about it. And I know over the weekend we had our first discussion with one state. I need to start having these discussions with several states so that we can actually start getting everybody onto the phone so that we can actually control the kind of the dialogues. But I first need to help you understand what we're trying to do and how helping me is actually helping you. Because those folks that will help get Reclaiming the Republic out to these your local radio stations, you're going to be the ones that are making most of the money up front. And this will give you an opportunity to shift your focus from being a, let's just say, whatever it is you do. Because there's, I know some people that are looking for work. The jobs have gone away, and some of the things that they used to be able to do, they can't do. But these are patriots, they're looking to do something. There's no reason why you can't start in your county. And almost all counties have some radio station. Almost all of them. And most of those radio stations are playing a format that, you know, in other words, there's very few radio stations in what we call the flyover territory. We're not talking about these big merger metropolis, you know, urban areas like, you know, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, Salt Lake, where you have these big cities where it has lots of radio stations and lots of powerful radio stations. Those are large markets. But when you get out to Wyoming and Nebraska, I mean, yeah, there's Omaha, but there's lots of area in Nebraska that has radio stations. Majority of all of these radio stations have no talent within them. They don't have really anybody. They may have some people that might do the news and so forth, and that these radio stations kind of provide, you know, the public service of keeping people informed of what's kind of going on. But they don't have the money to be able to employ people based on the labor rates today to be able to do it. So most of the content that they air is piped in. It's all digitally provided, and they subscribe to these types of things. What we want to do is we want to get them off of these subscription bases and actually start airing Reclaiming the Republic, at least for 1 hour. And this gives them the freedom, because all of my ads that you hear, all these promos, because they're not ads. There's nobody that's paying me for this time. And that's why I do these individual, and I'm going to do them hopefully before I run out of time in this show. I want to go through the obligatories. But what we want to do is let them sell the ads to their local advertisers, to the local businesses and so forth. And so what we want to do is help them actually make the money so that we can turn around both the relevance of your local radio station as well as local community interest, what's going on, so that people can actually hear, see, and understand what needs to be done, because we're going to be delivering this. We go through this and we provide this for you. As you know, we go through how to create constitutional counties. So what we're doing is we're teaching you how to do this. All you have to do, and this, we understand that there is no hard, fast, you have to have these things. You have to do these things. We don't have that that type of control over our counties. I mean, everything is different in almost every single county. So we're going to count upon you to figure out what you need to do and what has to be done. But we do understand some very specific things that have to be a part of this. You have to have these committees. You have to create. You have to create an unorganized militia. That is your county's obligation to do that. And if you're the one that actually stands up to do it, then you will become one of the founders, one of the framers in designing a citizen self-vigilance in holding government and public servants accountable. Because if you look at the Revolutionary War, when we look at what happened that led up to the war itself and the revolt against Britain, it was citizen vigilance. The militia people were actually vigilant citizens first before they actually had to pick up their guns. The beautiful thing is we do not need to pick up guns to fight our government. We actually have everything we need within the Constitution to force them into compliance. We don't need guns and deadly force to force them. We have the authority and power to remove them. This is why we are telling you that one of the first things you have to start demanding and start teaching people that we demand the right to be able to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We need to be able to demand of our public servants that if they fail to comply to the Constitution, and we're going to use First Amendment petitions, we're going to restore common law juries, common law courts, and common law grand juries, petite and grand. There's some of these things I don't necessarily know profoundly, but I have a good understanding of most all of this stuff. And I have a profound understanding of most of this stuff. And so I'm here to help, and I'm not from the government. And what we want to do is by helping monetize, helping you become the agent of change by getting our radio shows into the flyover counties, into those areas that aren't being served by the big metropolis. This is how we wake up America. This is how we actually start seeing, because what's going to happen is you're actually going to be taking control of your public servants. You're actually going to be forcing the dialogue and challenging them with First Amendment petitions and saying, you've got to go do this. And if they don't, then you make them pay at the polls because you or somebody else that you're going to identify that will actually do the job, do the bidding for you that needs to be done. And actually, it's not bidding for you, it's bidding for the Constitution. Because if your public servants are supporting the Constitution, then they are supporting your liberties and freedom to the T. And that's the beautiful thing. We've got such a beautiful system. We have such a, I'd almost say it's a perfect system. I don't think that the framers recognize the few things that they're missing, but I do believe we have, it is perfect enough to reclaim this republic. And nobody wants you to know this. Nope. Everybody wants you to think, oh no, we got to get Republicans in there. It's all about the party. It's all about, you know, the Second Amendment. These are divisive tactics getting you to think that, you know, we have to focus on one thing. The thing we have to focus on is the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.